Well, good morning. In this sermon series titled, Who is God? The desire has been to grow our understanding of who God is, knowing that who we understand God to be shapes how we worship Him and how we live our lives. If we understand and believe He is holy and good and loving and generous, we will live more godly, restful lives. In the Bible, God has revealed Himself to us. He has told us who He is, and He's done this through the prophets and the apostles, so that we don't have to guess who He is and then get it wrong who He is. Come up with some kind of image in our mind of who we think He is, and then we're worshiping that, and that's worshiping a false image. So He has actually told us who He is. And in this exploring of who God is, we have seen that God is just too much for us. We cannot fully understand Him. He is incomprehensible. He is that great and complex. We saw this in some of His attributes we looked at. He is self-existent, meaning He exists in and of Himself. His existence is dependent on Himself, nothing on the outside. He relies on no one and nothing else. He is unlimited, which is something we just don't understand because everything we are involved with has limits and has boundaries. He is fully each one of His attributes. We looked at that. We looked at how He is not part this and part that. He doesn't have love and mercy. He is love and He is mercy. He is each one fully. And He doesn't change. Nothing gets depleted. He has always been completely perfect. So there is no improvements that is needed. He is love, with His goodness and kindness and grace and mercy being poured out onto sinners, ultimately through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is fully just and He is fully holy, which means He has intense hatred for sin and will punish all sin, either by the sinner receiving the punishment they deserve or by accrediting the sinner's sin to Jesus, and the sinner receiving forgiveness and adoption into God's family upon repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are just a few amazing, deeply rich, and incomprehensible characteristics of God. He is so much greater than we can imagine. And today I want to close this sermon series by looking at the authority and rule of this one and only true God, whom we worship. So let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, I ask that You would clean out our thinking of who You are, that You would refine our understanding of You and remove the false images, the false ideas, and replace it with who You say You are. We need You to renew our minds and our hearts in that way, Lord. Because we love You and we want to worship You and live our lives for You. So Father, please give us, bless us with a clear and biblical understanding of You. And we ask this with dependence on You in the name of Jesus, amen. A word describing God that I'm sure you've heard is sovereign. God is sovereign. Now what does that mean? Sovereignty, when speaking of God, refers to God having authority over everything. He is the authority over all. He rules over everything. And not only is He the authority, He has the ability to do as He pleases. Nothing can stop Him from doing what He wants to do. He is not a democracy. He does not need to consult or get permission. There is nothing that can hinder Him. He is entirely and perfectly free to do as He wants with anything. Anything. All of us have this kind of a streak in us, this thinking that we can do whatever we want to do. I thought this way when I was in high school. I thought I could drive around our small town in winter any way that I wanted to. So I ripped around at noon hour using the handbrake and swerving all over the place. And then, of course, I got a ticket and lost my driver's license. I can't do whatever I want to do. I'm trying to grow grass in our front yard. I can't even do that. The world tells us that you can do and you can be whatever you want to be. But I wanted to be a famous rock and roll singer when I grew up. But that didn't happen because I'm not good. So we can't do whatever we want to do. But God, there is not one atom or molecule that is outside of his authority and his rule. And there is nothing that hinders him from doing as he pleases. Listen to some of these passages that help scratch the surface of his sovereignty. In Job 42, verse 2, Job says of the Lord, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Psalm 135, verse 6, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps." Isaiah 46, that Mike just read for us, verses 8 through 11. "Remember this and stand firm. Call it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose. I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it." He will do whatever he wants. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says it this way about Jesus. "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." He works all things according to his will. We see God's sovereignty in his choosing of the nation of Israel to be his people, through whom he brought the Messiah. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, and chapter 9, verse 6. This is what it says. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a possession, to be his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people." So it's not that Abraham and then Israel were so special and that's why God chose the nation of Israel. God freely chose them based on himself. Absolutely nothing to do with them. God has the authority. He rules. He does as he pleases. And look how everything about him supports his sovereignty. He is all-knowing, which is omniscient. He created everything and therefore knows everything about everything and can easily rule over everything. Our culture says information is power. Well, God knows everything. And he is everywhere at once, omnipresent. He is not limited by place, by location. He knows what is happening everywhere at all times. And it's all laid before him. Nothing is withheld from him because nothing is hidden from him. And so he can easily rule. And he alone is self-existent and self-sufficient. Everything is dependent on other things for their existence. And someone dependent on something or someone else for its existence is vulnerable because they are susceptible to limitations and deterioration and death. You and I are entirely dependent on air, food, weather. We are very vulnerable. All the rulers and leaders are very vulnerable. They're all dependent on the people that they lead for their leadership. I was watching a documentary on Muammar Gaddafi. He ruled Libya for years and years. But his rule was dependent on the people of Libya. And when they had enough of him, they revolted and killed him, his leadership was done. leadership and rule was dependent on the people. God is not dependent on us or anything in any way at all. He is sovereign because he is God, the creator on whom all creation depends upon for its existence. And so he can easily rule. And not only is God sovereign with all knowledge, being everywhere at once, self-existent, self-sufficient, he is also all-powerful, omnipotent. I said earlier that God has the ability to do anything that he wants. That's because he doesn't possess some power. He is absolute power. Everything he does is done without effort. He never loses power when he exercises his power. He doesn't need to rest or regain his strength. He is always unlimited and perfect in absolute power. Genesis chapter 1, Psalms 33 verse 6, Isaiah 44 verse 24, and Romans 4 verse 17, they all point to God bringing everything into existence. He created out of nothing. There was nothing there. Then he created, and then there was everything. He is that powerful. And even though his creation is powerful, like volcanoes and hurricanes and tornadoes and splitting the atom, like inventions, passenger planes, how can those big hunks of steel sit there in the sky and move along at 500 kilometers an hour? Or cars, my friends that I grew up with, their dad, one guy had a 1972 GTO convertible, another friend's dad had a Porsche, these powerful cars. And even though creation and people can come up with these powerful things, they're nothing compared to God's power. His unlimited and his active power that is at work right now in this universe. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that he is upholding the universe right now. He is sustaining us. Some of the things that he's doing, one of the things he's doing is he's sustaining the atmosphere that is around our earth so that when meteors come and they hit that atmosphere, they're burned up instead of hitting the earth. And if he released or relinquished his sustaining power on our atmosphere, we'd be bombarded with meteors. That's how practical his sustaining power is right now in our lives. He is actively sustaining the universe. Whatever laws of nature or laws of the universe that are found, they are God's means of sustaining everything. His sovereignty is exercised through his tremendous power. Revelation 19 verse 6 records a scene that will be taking place in heaven at the end of time, and it reads, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.'" A crazy, noisy scene in heaven. Peals of thunder crying out. I don't know what a peal of thunder is, but it sounds pretty huge and daunting. God, the all-powerful, reigns. And throughout the whole book of Revelation, God is continually referred to as Almighty, which means holding sway over all things, ruler over all. Nothing is difficult for him. Nothing. His power has no limits. Jeremiah the prophet said to the Lord in Jeremiah 32 verse 17, "Nothing is too hard for you." In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, God tells us through Paul that he is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Like we cannot come up with anything that comes close to challenging his ability. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about sinners being saved, he said in Matthew 19, verse 26, "With God, all things are possible. That's saying God has no limits. He's got no limits. God is the only one who, as Psalm 115 verse 3 puts it, does whatever he pleases. And even though he has so many powerful acts that he has done that we know about and can understand, the Bible has as the pinnacle the Lord's salvation of sinners, his unlimited powerful justice and wrath against sin, along with his unlimited powerful love and mercy and grace, sent Jesus to the cross to take the place of guilty sinners and receive the punishment that sinners deserve. And when a sinner repents and puts their faith and trust in God the Son and his work on the cross, the sinner moves from being an enemy of God to being a born-again, forgiven, righteous child of God. What an amazing, beautiful, powerful gift from the sovereign God. We hear stories of God healed this sickness or he did that thing over there. Well, here you have the holy God making his enemies into righteous, holy, adopted children. You want to talk about something powerful and amazing and a miracle? Sinners being saved by the holy God is a miracle. God has all power. There is no power operating outside of God's control. He has authority over every single thing, right down to atoms and molecules. Nothing operates outside of his sovereign rule. All creation, moment by moment, depends upon the Almighty God. Someone put it this way: in your conception of divine power, enlarge it further. His power is such that he can do whatever he pleases without difficulty or resistance. He cannot be checked, restrained, or frustrated. He is such a powerful, sovereign king over all. Now, with this understanding of God, think about Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. No matter what, God will sovereignly work things out. Those current items or future issues you have or you will have, he will work them toward that which is beneficial for you. He might save you from a tragedy or have you go through a tragedy. Our good is in focus here. Our good according to God, which means we might not know the good at the time or at all, ever. But we can trust God, who is good and holy and all-knowing, to work things together for our good. He did this for Daniel in the lion's den, Jonah in the fish, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. In those deadly circumstances, he did as he pleased and brought good out of those situations for those men and for people related to that situation. By no means does this say that bad is good or that evil is good. God sovereignly rules, overrules bad and evil, and works them in a way that in the long run is good for us. His sovereignty is over our trials and is over our sufferings. And some of those good things he brings out of bad circumstances are increased faith, increased trust in him, increased humility, a quickness to run from temptations, being driven to God, becoming more like Christ in loving God more fully and loving people more fully. As one scholar puts it, when everything is fine, it's easy to feel pious. But as soon as things collapse and trouble comes our way, there's a greater temptation to become angry with God. We can easily lose our patience and begin to doubt his goodness. That's when a person finds out whether he or she really trusts God, for suffering will expose any evil in the heart. That's hard to hear. But it's true, isn't it? God lets bad things happen, then overrides the evil bad thing to bring good, to purify our hearts, purify our faith, purify our worship in him. Brothers and sisters, we can have so much confidence in the Lord. Confidence like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through the Holy Spirit, the unlimited, self-existing, all-knowing, and all-powerful, and present ruler of everything is living in me. And he wants us to live with this confidence and trust in him in all circumstances. That's why Jesus told his disciples, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Don't be anxious. Don't be frightened. Why? The sovereign God. That's why. All is governed by his good, holy, merciful, powerful sovereignty. Nothing is outside his reign and authority and rule, not even evil. We see this in the life of Joseph in Genesis. His brothers wanted him dead, but sold him into slavery, where Joseph ends up in Egypt and ultimately becomes the main government leader over the food in a time of famine. And when his brothers come to Egypt for food and find out who Joseph had become, they were remorseful. They were scared, thinking that Joseph would take revenge on them. But Joseph said to them in Genesis 50, verse 19 to 20, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. David is saying that God's will can't be stopped by the evil intentions of people. God's good sovereign rule stands over it, working through that wickedness for the good of those he loves. So Joseph went through all that rejection, being sold, put in prison, released from prison, and then wrongly accused and thrown back into prison, and brought out of prison again and put into the trust of Pharaoh, and through it having a growing faith in God, and all along God is setting things up to save and grow the nation of Israel. He worked it for good. Same with Judas, the traitor of Jesus. What Judas did was evil. But that sin of Judas, God worked it to bring salvation. Judas's betrayal was part of putting Jesus on the cross. God is almighty, working all things for our good. He is the only source of all comfort and all joy and all love, because he reigns. He reigns. With our eyes on the Lord, then we should consider our circumstances. Seeing our life and our circumstances through the Lord. We don't start with our eyes on the circumstances and the situation. We start with our eyes on who the Lord is, and then through the Lord, look at our circumstances and situations. The sovereign Lord being our filter through whom we look at what is happening in our lives. That is so hard for me. So hard. 2.5 hours ago, we found some new news about our life that's going on. And what do you think I'm doing? I'm just looking at that circumstance and that situation going, oh man, well, where is this going to lead? Oh my goodness. Instead of going, the sovereign Lord, the King over all, the omniscient one, the omnipotent one, I can face all things through him. We have to fight for that up here and in here. That our starting point is the sovereign Lord. And then we look at life circumstances from the position of being in Christ with the Lord. Someone has said that no prayer is too hard for him to answer. No need too great for him to supply. No passion too strong for him to subdue. No temptation too powerful for him to deliver from. No misery too deep for him to relieve. There is nothing so difficult he can't accomplish. Nothing so strong that he cannot overrule. You need not dread men, since you have one to restrain them. You need not fear devils, since you have one to chain them. What comfort there is in our sovereign Heavenly Father. So, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, found in Christ, Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In the strength of his might, not your might. We're weak. We're weak. We think we're tough. We talk tough. We talk a good game, but we're weak. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong. Be encouraged. Be at peace. You are in the care of the Almighty God. 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Move your thoughts from yourself and your circumstances and get them onto the sovereign, almighty, heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.